Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Get a head start on 2025 with CNBC's Big January, the hottest tech event, CES, from Las Vegas. The data, the numbers, the jobs report, and meet the future of biotech and pharma at JPM Healthcare. Check out the Amex Golf Tournament from California, Inauguration Day, and the meeting of world leaders in Davos. Plus, the first Fed decision of the year. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
I'm fascinated by this now. I've been sent down an academic research tunnel that I was not prepared to go down this day, yet here I am.
I know I'm a rebel. I understand I'm a nonconformist. I understand that I am different, okay? And that's fine. I'm different. And you know what? I can deal with being different. I'm not alone. I'm just different compared to the people that you know.
Here's the issue. The issue is, though you may not intend it this way, when you say, oh, this guy is playing into the stereotype about meatheads, you frame it as you're better.
No, and that's here's, where here's I draw the thing. The line. Here's the thing that I can do that you cannot do is I played offensive line at the collegiate level. So I'm speaking from one of those people. You are not one of those people. You've never played the sport, Rob.
Oh, so God.
How can you talk about it?
Oh, God. Here
I should have held it together. I was so close.
Here we go. According to the Journal of Social, Psychological, and Personality Science, these people effectively are an academic journal that study the way our brains work, both individually and within a social setting. They say that swearing is linked to a higher pain tolerance. They say that swearing is an indicator of honesty. That is to say, people who swear are usually more direct and accurate in messages that they deliver to other people, mainly because if you walk up to somebody and say, you, there's no question about your feeling or intent in that spot. They say that the purpose of swearing is to vent emotion, and that one of the benefits of swearing is that it is actually a stress relief mechanism, meaning that when you swear, your brain releases the chemicals that help you deal with stress, which is why we tend to scream obscenities when we are frustrated or in danger, et cetera, et cetera. They do say there are limitations to that. Like anything else, if you swear frequently, then the stress release reaction caused by swearing is diminished. It's kind of like building up a tolerance like you would to medication. If you take a medication for a long time and you're taking it at 20 milligrams, eventually your doctor's going to up that to 30 or 40 milligrams because you have built up a tolerance to that. The same is true about cursing, but according to this study, there is a noticeable and empirical connection between societal intellect, that is your ability to participate within large groups of people and your desire to participate with large groups of people. They also say that there is a connection between introvertedness and the lack of utilizing obscenities. The less you cuss, the less likely it is that you interact with large groups of people with any regularity. But pain tolerance, stress management, and societal honesty are three things that are predictable based on the number of explicit words that a person utilizes.
So I am not societally honest, apparently.
I'm just reading you the results. I didn't do the study. This is from the 2020 report from the Archives of Physiotherapy submitted by the whatever that organization was that I just read a second ago.
I'm sure there was a government grant. You know what? Let's find out why people cuss.
See, here's the thing. That stuff is super fascinating to me. It's super fascinating to me the fact that we have developed a mechanism that, unless you overtax it and you get eventually diminishing returns, we have developed a mechanism by which we can say a word and it equips your body to deal with stress better.
All right, this sounds like the people who did this study and you are trying to justify potty mouth. I mean, do what you want to do. Go ahead. Do it right now if you want.
I don't need to justify it. But I'm just going
like
to do
you
it.
Do just because.
Okay, I'll do it right now.
And by the way, I've told you the root reason why it bothers me. You're one of the few
for
people
sure.
who know why.
For sure. And I understand it so that we're clear, which is why I have A, never judged, and B, I limit it when around you. If it's just you, I'm in the office. I don't really cuss around you when it's just you and me. Now, if other people get added to the mix, sure, it is still limited to compare how I talk when I'm at the bar with the boys on a Wednesday night knocking back some rum and Sprites. That's a different world. Out of respect, the issue I bump into is when I do that, and then here's my dog giving this motivational speech to a room full of dogs, and you're like, oh, what a meathead idiot. That's where it's like, okay, now you're judging us.
What did I say? I said he plays into the stereotype.
Right, and the stereotype.
I didn't call him an idiot. I said he played into the stereotype. You added idiot. I did not. So you're trying to make it sound like I did that and I did not do that.
Okay, so is the stereotype.
As someone who's been in the room.
Is the stereotype.
With lineman coaches and know how they talk.
Then is the stereotype unfair and unacceptable? Is the stereotype that you just acknowledged is real, is it fair?
Yes.
There you go. That's judgment.
But
that's judgment.
It's fair because he disproved it, and I've been in rooms, and I know how they talk. So whenever someone, all dumb linemen, when that comes up, and then you point out, oh, no, linemen are very intelligent.
They absolutely
you're
are.
Going against the stereotype, and you're going against the norm. You're going against the common belief that is linemen are big, dumb meatheads.
I didn't ask you if the stereotype exists. I asked you, is it fair? Is it a fair stereotype?
For the most part, a lot of stereotypes are fair because they are rooted in some sort of truth.
So
they may not be an exact truth, but there's enough truth there for people to go, oh, yeah, I see that.
So this is me pushing back against the stereotype that if an offensive line coach says, if 99's in the A-gap, you light his ass up. That's a bad stereotype that we should be actively working to dismantle. That's my whole take on it. That's how I come across it. I'm just saying, science is on my side now. Yeah, science.
Yeah, I still think you're wrong. So, I mean, in the end, even that science is not an exact science. It's an opinion. And in my opinion, it's wrong.
It's definitely not an opinion. It is a hypothesis in the world of science that is now backed up by multiple studies showing empirical data. What you are saying is a feeling. You feel as if that is that way. I'm saying, here's a bunch of nerds in lab coats that actually ran the test down to the chemicals in your brain to figure out what's actually happening.
All right, to me,
this is why I defend
that. Some people got on these guys because they were cursing and they're like, well, we'll prove that it's okay and we're smarter for doing it. And they went and got a grant and got money and went out
and did
the thing, talked to the people that they knew that cursed all the time and did the study and all this kind of stuff to build themselves up to go say, see, we were right, which is what you're doing. See, I was right. That's what you say.
You just made up a story in your head as to why this is bad.
No, I had a hypothesis.
Right. What's your backing evidentiary data?
What's yours?
I just read it to you.
Okay.
Literally the study.
No.
Like literally a documented academic study.
Like you have heard of these people before you started researching.
Well, I haven't done a ton of research into physiotherapy.
So this is a trusted source of all things physiotherapy.
No, but if it is a published academic study that is backed by the Marist College and others, yes, I trust them more than Lonzo.
This is something that you're trying to prove a point, and it's not going to change my mind.
Oh, I know that.
And it's not going to change your mind. And again, I'm different. I'm okay with being different, and different is okay. So you may look in the mirror and go, hey, I don't fit in this morning because I don't do this thing that other people do. That's okay. You be you. Don't let other people try to make you feel bad because you don't do what they do. You be you. Be different. Be a rebel. Be whatever. Don't conform to things like this.
Offensive line. Because
I'm not going to.
If you want to say, when 99 comes through the A gap, I'm going to light him up, then scream it loudly and proudly, boys, because it is a stress reliever.
Rob, obviously the man, and don't let the man bring you down. That's all I'm saying.
Apparently, I am the man. We're out here rigging the system to make a point. I mean, it is what it is. All right, we got a lot more we got to get to. Actual sports coverage. Sorry, Ghost of Ray. We'll get to some sports when we come back here in just a minute. Mark Benetti, the voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, joins us next to get you set up for the Swamp Rabbits weekend series. They'll be back at the crib coming up this weekend. They're on the road at Jacksonville tonight. Mark Benetti joins us live from the Butthole of America next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. The three-time South Carolina Broadcasters Association Sports Talk Radio Show of the Year, the Rob Brown Show, continues right here on the Fan Upstate. Rob and Lonzo and you.
Where's the horn?
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I mean,
I got all my sounds back, and no, that's not the right one. That's not the one I want. Listen, it's our hockey segment. All right, it's our hockey segment. We had to add the goal horn to the roster.
There we go. You were called to the ice, so to speak.
I was.
And yeah, so you've got to have that going on, dude.
Lordo was on my ass about not having a goal horn. But now, ladies and gentlemen, we have a goal horn. And we have a goal horn because joining us now on the program is a gentleman who deserves a goal horn when he makes his appearance on the show. He is the voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits. He is the mouth of the team. Mark Benetti joins us here on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate, live from the Butthole of America, Jacksonville, Florida. Mark B, I'm so sorry, bud. Like they couldn't hook you up to do this game remote, so you didn't have to go down there.
I prefer actually seeing the game in person, but, so because of that, I will put up with the stench of fecal matter around me. Yep. You know, it's just, listen, you know, we're all doing the best that we can here.
I mean, I get it. I assume that you are currently, as you should be, locked inside of a hotel room until the last absolute possible minute to go to the arena, and that when it's over, you'll be on the bus to get the hell out of there, like, immediately.
Do you have a camera in my room right now? Because that's exactly what's going on right now.
I imagine so. Mark Benetti, voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Let's dive right in. My guy, the Bits, down on the road in Jayville, getting set to take on the Icemen before they return to the crib this weekend for not just a hockey game on Saturday night, but one of my favorite events of the year. And we will talk about Teddy Bear Toss coming up here in just a little while. But just give me your overall thoughts on kind of where the team is right now, Mark Benetti.
Well, the team had a really tough three-game weekend last weekend. You know, tough loss on Friday and over in a shootout against Orlando, which Orlando just seems to have our number when it comes to post-regulation play. Even dating back to the playoffs, the Swamp Rabbits have lost five in a row with games that have gone past 60 minutes head-to-head against Orlando. But still, that's a key point that if you don't get that now, I mean, it could probably play a factor somewhere down the road. Saturday against Atlanta, the home game, every time you play against Atlanta, it's a 12-round prize fight. And, you know, they happened to counterpunch one more time than the Swamp Rabbits did. I think losing out on two goals under review didn't really help on the entire weekend as a whole. But, you know, it was what it was. You lose 1-0. It's the absolute narrowest of margins. But then you go right back to Atlanta, down 1-0 again for seemingly 40, 50 minutes of hockey. You haven't scored in five periods. You're gripping your stick tight. But then all of a sudden you get a deflection in front from Austin Saint. 2 seconds later, Quinn Olson's got a screamer on the power play. And then Jake Flynn just buzzes up the wall. And with 3 minutes to go, you've got the game winner. And so it just showcased the resiliency of this team. They're a lively bunch. They're a team that grinds it out, and they're going to have to do exactly that again against Jacksonville.
We are talking to Mark Benetti, voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. And, you know, you talk about that two-game set back-to-back Saturday and Sunday against Atlanta. You now go take on a Jacksonville team that you haven't seen here in a couple of weeks. The last time out against Jacksonville, I think, was back towards the end somewhere of November. It's kind of interesting, Benetti, because on one hand, you have some familiarity with these teams in the Southern Division because you're kind of rotating through them. But on the flip side, there's no guarantee that, you know, the Jacksonville team you play back on the 27th, 28th is the same Jacksonville team that you're going to play on the 11th. They, like the Bits, have teams that get called up, players that get sent back down, etc. So what are we expecting out of the Jacksonville Icemen we play tonight? What are you expecting out of this matchup on the road tonight?
Well, Jacksonville is lockdown at home, 8-3-1 in 12 games on home ice here at ViStar Veterans Memorial Arena. This is always a tough go, always a tough building to play. They grind it out. Their head coach is the kind of guy that back in his NHL career, he was a grinder. He fought, he penalty killed, he took big draws, and so the team emulates him, and they're very, very tough. Especially in this building. You know, the Swamp Rabbits, the very first game they played against each other head-to-head, November 24th, didn't look like Jacksonville even showed up. It was a 5-0 shutout win for the Swamp Rabbits. Dryden McKay had 41 saves. It was not even remotely close. Jacksonville also coming off the back end of a 3-3, so with the Swamp Rabbits. I mean, there's a lot of different things that you could say about what went into that game, but just Jacksonville wasn't ready. Then you go into their building. Swamp Rabbits face adversity the night before against South Carolina, lose 5-2. And then within 90 seconds of the game, Chris Grando scores. They're off and running. They win 4-1. It's a team that they really like to strike first. They like to punch in the jaw first. And if they can get that first goal, they're just going to run. And, you know, for the Swamp Rabbits right now, they found some great confidence in scoring with a 3-goal outburst in the third period. They needed that on Sunday to beat Atlanta. They did it in every way, too, with 5-on-5 and with, a screamer of a power play goal from Quinn Olson. So, if the Swamp Rabbits can try and counterpunch and match that energy with 2 days to rest before the teddy bear toss, they're going to be fine tonight.
Talk to me about the fellas between the pipes, because McKay was on an absolute heater, but then welcome to lower level professional hockey. Jacob Ingham gets sent back down from Ontario, ends up in a shootout in his first game back. Unfortunately, doesn't go its way. I know he was obviously very frustrated, broke his stick against the pipes after the L in that one. But again, hadn't played hockey in a minute. Certainly hadn't played in Greenville in a minute. Going to take some time to get back up and down. I guess I'm kind of asking here, is Kyle Mountain in a spot where he's got a wealth of riches between two guys that we know are both more than capable of being successful? And what's the rotation between the two main netminders going to look like?
Yeah, he certainly does, because, you know, Dryden McKay has been the workhorse of this team. Obviously, Jacob Ingham's been up top in Ontario for quite some time. He played two games with the Rain over two call-ups over the course of basically a total month of hockey. And so while he was gone, Dryden had to take that onus in between the pipes. He is absolutely incredible. He's a warrior. He's a gamer. And all the proof that I needed was November 22nd, 23rd, 24th, Dryden McKay starts a 3-3 in two different spots and wins all three games, including the anchor game was the shutout against Jacksonville. The guy's a nail gun. He just shows up. He competes. Jacob Ingham, too, there's something different about him this year in all the good ways. And it's not to say that last year he didn't have that. He certainly did, you know, and rightfully so. He earned a National Hockey League contract by the end of the year from Los Angeles. But there's something different about his game this year, and I think it's his maturity. You know, having another year under his belt, having all the experience that he does, you know, you got to remember, for Jacob Ingham, 2 years ago, he basically sat out the entire year after a surgery to correct an injury. And for a goaltender to sit out a whole year and come back, that's not an easy thing. And not only did he just come back last year, but he had a career season with 17 wins in the ECHL ranks, went 17-10-3. So I think the rotation is primarily between the two of them. But then you also can't sleep on the fact that Colby Hay has been a consummate teammate, has been a consummate pro, somebody who, when his number has been called, the rare times that it has been, he's been ready to go, made his pro debut in relief. He's played twice in relief. And this is somebody who's been chomping at the bit, ready to go. And, you know, God forbid one of the other two guys goes down or gets called up or whatnot. Number 31's ready to go, too. So you certainly have a wealth of riches in between the pipes. You've got two guys in Dryden McKay and Jacob Ingham on AHL contracts that can do the job. But then when number 31's ready to go, Colby Hay can do it, too.
Talking to Mark Benetti, voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits. The Bits on the road tonight down in Jacksonville, Florida, to take on the Icemen and hopefully win that game 972-0. But, Mark Benetti, we got to turn our attention towards the weekend, and I want to talk about the games upcoming just a little bit. But Saturday night, one of my favorite events. It's an event I've been fortunate to be a part of the last 3 years running. I look forward to participating again this year. It is the Teddy Bear Toss. For the folks who maybe aren't as familiar with hockey and what this tradition is within the world of hockey, Benetti, tell folks what the Teddy Bear Toss is and how it works.
To your point, it is the absolute most fun game of the year. I don't care what anybody says. This is the game I have circled on the calendar ever since I turned professional back in 2013. This is the coolest game ever. You know, I'm working on a future story for the website about the Teddy Bear Toss, not just ours, but just kind of giving a glance at how this game came to be. The Kamloops Blazers and the Western Hockey League are actually credited with the first ever Teddy Bear Toss in 1993, December 5th. They were the first ones to do it, and simply put, when the Swamp Rabbits score their first goal of the game, you bring a stuffed animal to the game and you toss it onto the ice. And those stuffed animals get donated to charitable organizations. They get donated to children in need throughout the upstate community, personally for the Swamp Rabbits and whatnot. We have a lofty goal of 10,000 bears. We've never hit five digits with bears before. And so the way I see it, the 15th annual Teddy Bear Toss presented by Swamp Rabbit Moving, this is the one to do it for. And it's so cool. You know, I actually, last week I researched the previous 14 Teddy Bear Tosses, somehow managed to track down all 13 Teddy Bear goal scorers. Well, technically 12, one guy did it twice. He's the only guy to do it twice, which even then is a feat in itself. But to see some of the different discrepancies with how the goal has been scored, when it's been scored, forwards, defensemen, if it's your first pro goal, if it's the only goal you're scoring the year, which has happened like only twice out of the 13 of them, it's pretty wild. You know, this is a goal that if you score it, you're on top of the world, and you can pretty much retire a happy man at that point because you scored one of the more impactful goals of the year, not even just because of what it represents in the game itself, but also at the same time what it does for the community too. So absolute most fun game of the year. Bring a stuffed animal, bring five of them, and when the Swamp Rabbits score, get ready to throw it out on the ice.
Yeah, it's the first goal of the Swamp Rabbits gets an avalanche of toys, and they literally have to back up moving trucks to the rink to fill those things up. And the best part is, as Benetti just mentioned a second ago, all of those toys end up going into the hands of kids who maybe are a little bit underprivileged around the upstate. So it's a fantastic hockey tradition. It's one that I will be, once again, proud to be a part of. And also, just one of those awesome things that happens in the world of sports. Set people up for the weekend upcoming. This game Saturday night, taking on, once again, the Atlanta Gladiators, a team that we would love to get one back. I know we knocked them down 3-2 on the road Monday, but obviously last time Atlanta was in the crib exactly 1 week ago per Saturday's drop at 7:05 p.m., Atlanta walked out with a 1-0 win in that one. Atlanta followed by another tryst with the Solar Bears on Sunday. Benetti, give us a little quick preview of the weekend games on the ice.
Well, there's never a day off in the South Division. Tonight proves that against Jacksonville, Saturday against Atlanta, Sunday against Orlando is certainly going to prove that again. You know, every night, I said it earlier about Atlanta, but quite honestly with the division, every night is a 12-round prize fight. And, you know, that's what happens when you play in the best division in the league. I remember back in my earlier days with Rapid City, the Rush and the Mountain Division, that was the toughest division. But the power has now shifted to the South Division here with the likes of all seven teams. It's very deep. And so when you look at a team like Atlanta, you know, they're very direct. They charge the net. They're good in the net front. They're great in the middle of the ice, and they'll beat you to a pulp trying to get there. Likewise, they will take a beating to get to those high percentage scoring areas. Orlando is a mix of all five players on the ice at any given point can skate. All five of them can penalty kill. All five of them can block shots. All five of them can hit. But then every now and then, one guy can just find that one goal you need to squeak it over the line, and that's it. And so, you know, I mean, you look back to some of the last couple of matchups against both of these teams. They're one-goal games. The game winner's in the third period. Penalty kill is huge. Special teams is huge. Goaltending is elite. And that's what you're going to get again. Atlanta's going to come in with a chip because they lost 3-2. They also have that 1-0 win under their belts. But they realize it's the teddy bear toss. Their whole team's already talked about it. And there's a great sense of pride in trying to prevent the team from scoring the teddy bear goals. So Atlanta's going to come ready to rock and roll on Saturday night. And it's up to the Swamp Rabbits team to negate that hatred, if you will. And then Sunday, again, you know, you're looking at an Orlando team that has won 5 in a row past 60 minutes, because that's just how these games go against the Solar Bears. They just go past 60 minutes. They go to overtime. They go to the shootout. And so they're looking for a more complete win, especially after a roster shakeup. You know, last weekend before Friday's game against the Solar Bears that ended in the shootout loss, Orlando had about 5 or 6 different transactions, shipped out a lot of guys, brought in a lot of new blood. The team was 3 games under 500 at the time, and they needed to change things up. And so that's a hell of a shot across the bow. They certainly rose to the challenge. They've done pretty well for themselves since then. So they're going to want to keep that train rolling in the right direction. So we're in for it this weekend, but that makes the hockey that much more fun.
The mouth of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, Mark Benetti, joining us from a secure bunker in the worst city in America, Jacksonville, Florida, to break down a little rabbit hockey. The boys on the road down at the Icemen tonight, 7:05. They'll return to the well this Saturday evening at 7:05 for the Teddy Bear Toss, one of my favorite events in all of sports. Mark, I have one piece of advice for you as you spend the evening in Jacksonville, Florida, and that advice is leave as soon as possible. Just figure it out, bud.
I'm also washing my hands at every moment that I get. So, you know, we're doing the best that we can here. You know, it's a tough hand to be dealt, but, you know, listen, we're all trying.
It's all we can do. Mark Benetti, voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits. My man, safe travels. We will see you back at the well on Saturday, bud.
Yes, sir. You know it.
You got it. Mark Benetti, voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits here on the Rob Brown Show. We talk rabbit hockey every Wednesday at 8:40 a.m. And at the end of that segment, every Wednesday and Mondays and Tuesdays and Thursdays and Fridays, Lonzo reads the Sports Flash.
Like clockwork and stuff. The New York Yankees missed out on Juan Soto, but signed the next biggest name in the MLB free agency list, agreeing to an 8-year, $218 million deal with former Atlanta Braves starter Max Fried yesterday. The deal is just the 12th $100 million contract awarded by New York. Days after Dow Loggins, not Kenny Loggins, departed South Carolina to become the head coach at Appalachian State, Shane Beamer has filled the offensive coordinator role with former Alabama coach Mike Shula. According to ESPN, Shula was credited with playing a role in the development of Lenore Sellers, who's pretty good. If you haven't seen him, you should. Tune in this Saturday at 11:30 as the Furman Paladins take on the South Carolina State Bulldogs. It's Furman versus South Carolina State right here on your home for Furman Paladins basketball. The Fan, Upstate.